Please, to the book of, let me get the reference here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew 5:45. Matthew 5:45 says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Father, I pray now that you'd anoint your word as it goes forth. And bless it, Father, to the hearing of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. A professor at the university in Florida, said, I don't believe in instant karma, but this kind of feels like it's for Texas. Hopefully this will help them realize the GOP doesn't care about them. This is according to the Tampa Bay Times, Palm Beach Post, and the WFTS at Tampa television station. And this professor has since lost his job. And completely hardened attitude toward the sufferings of the people in all that area, he blurts out something like this. The sad thing is that he's not the only professor out here in these colleges and universities in our country that is that stupid. Just because you've got a PhD next to your name doesn't mean you know anything. Listen to me carefully, folks. I've dealt with a lot of people down through the years, especially people that have advanced degrees. And a lot of these people are educated way above their intelligence. They know a lot of facts, but they have no idea. They don't. They have no concept. They're stupid. Now, this man talks about karma. I don't know if he has a clue what karma is or where it came from. Karma is from Buddhism and Hinduism. And karma has to do with the transmigration of souls. It has to do with a past life brought into this life, how this life is lived, projecting into the next life. That you can come back as an animal from a previous life, and hopefully if your karma is better, you'll be better in the next life, and on it goes. It is their way of explaining the hardships of life and the things that people have to endure on this earth. The Hindu religion, if you ever study anything about India, you'll find out that it's a caste system. And at the lowest part of that caste, the people call the untouchables. The untouchables are the ones who never have a hope. They have no hope that they can ever improve their lot in this world. And untouchable literally means that you have nothing to do with them. This is a caste system. Thank God that you live in America where you're not born into a caste system. That we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights among these life-living pursuit of happiness. The American dream, which a lot of people have experienced in this country, is based on equality. And equality is something that you can't measure. Equality is not something that goes under a microscope. Equality has to do with the individual as a person. We put a lot of value on human life. We believe that every life counts. We believe that every life counts. Exactly. And this is the only way that a society could ever be structured. You have witnessed a historic event in Texas, and now it's moving into Louisiana. It is one of the most profound hurricanes to ever hit this nation. And from some reports, it is the most devastating natural event to happen to America. And it's still ongoing. It's not over. The fact of the matter is, some areas could be worse as the water begins to move down to its final destination, the ocean. So you're watching something happen, and a lot of great lessons to be learned in it. And I want to talk about that tonight. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And he says, he wants me to talk about what is Hurricane Harvey? What is it? Now, you know, it formed down in the Atlantic as a tropical storm. And I think it reached hurricane status one time, then fell again into a tropical storm and worked its way up into the Gulf of Mexico. And then once it got into the Gulf, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, this tropical storm became a Category 4 hurricane when it hit the coast, with winds, sustained winds of 130 miles an hour and more. So therefore, when it hit the continental United States, it was packing some powerful, powerful winds. But Hurricane Harvey will not be remembered for its winds. In 1935, on Labor Day, a hurricane hit the United States, 1935. That was before they named them, packing winds of 185 miles an hour. Hurricane Camille in 1969 hit the coast of America, packing winds of 175 miles an hour. And that is the first hurricane so named with that kind of power, Camille, 1969. So many people died when this hurricane in 1935 hit. The bodies were scattered all over Florida that they had to go out and gather them up and cremate the bodies right on the spot because they were deteriorating. They were going back to the ground. And it created a health hazard. And there's photographs on the internet, if you want to look into something like that, that shows you the bonfires of all the bodies that have been collected from this horrible, horrible hurricane in 1935 that hit Florida. I distinctly remember Hurricane Andrew that moved across Florida and destroyed whole communities, tore them to pieces. Hurricane Andrew was a terrible hurricane. And I remember Hurricane Andrew because of its fierceness, its winds, its the ability to tear down. But Hurricane Harvey will not be remembered for its winds. Hurricane Harvey will be remembered for its flooding. It will be remembered for its flooding. And believe me, folks, it will never be forgotten. This is one hurricane that people will remember for the rest of their lives because there's nothing to compare it to. Nothing. It's a profound effect that it's had upon the nation, and for the most part, good. I'm going to talk about a few things tonight as it relates to this hurricane, and hopefully it can be a blessing to you. Number one, it is something that arose quickly. This hurricane just came up. It was at first a tropical depression, a tropical wave, and then all of a sudden became a hurricane. Came up quickly. That's the way storms arise sometimes. And storms can arise in your life like that. They can come quickly. All it takes sometimes is a visit to the doctor's office. All it takes is one visit. Sometimes all it takes is a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're awakened from sleep. And a storm has entered into your life. This is life. This is life. And you need to prepare yourself for a lot of... Our tendency is that we have a tendency to sleep and slumber. And people have a tendency for that. That's just natural. And maybe a defense mechanism, I don't know, but people have a tendency to kind of create their own little bubble and live in it and say, well, now this is happening to all these people around me, but it's not going to happen to me. Yes, it will happen to you. And it can happen to you, and it can happen quickly. And this is what happened here. This hit the coast of Texas, and it just arose. I watched the news. And I watched Janice Dean when she's that meteorologist girl from Canada. And she's on Fox News, and she was talking about this tropical depression. She said, but we need to watch it. And then the first thing you know, this thing had developed into a monster. That's the way life goes. We need to be prepared for that. The second thing is that it is something that caught people completely unprepared. They interviewed some folks after this hurricane hit the coast. And did you know that there were people living 100, 200 miles from there that hadn't even heard of it? That's how quickly it arose. They hadn't even heard of it. You see, right now there's a hurricane developing in the lower Atlantic. Did you know that? Right now. They have these models. They'll have 7, 8, 10 different models that tracks the course of it. And so far away now, they can't track it. But they say there's a possibility that it could hit the United States. And they have no idea how large it'll be. They have no idea. But right now, at this moment, while I'm standing here, there is a hurricane developing in the Atlantic. Now, what does that say? Well, it says that this may be a very active hurricane season. That we've been living for the last few years pretty well isolated. We haven't had much. Did you know that it had been 12 years since a major hurricane had hit the United States of America? I didn't know until they started talking about major hurricane. I said, what are you talking about? So I got on the internet, did a little digging. A major hurricane is a hurricane which is a category 3 or larger. Cat 3 or larger. We'd had 1s and 2s hit the coast, but nothing 3 or more. And so, of course, when Harvey hit, that's a Cat 4. So that's a major hurricane. It had been 12 years since a major hurricane had hit the states. That's a long time. That's long enough for folks to sleep. You know, not being critical, just observant. And hopefully, which we would all hope, that another one would never come. But we know better than that, don't we? We know that in the tropical area of this country, they're going to get hit with hurricanes because that's simply the place that they live. So a lot of people were completely unprepared. And this is the way life goes, folks. We must be prepared. We have got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prayed up. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, this ignoramus, and I'm trying to be nice. I am. That enrages me for a man to think he's educated and talk like that. He thinks he's smart. And he's talking about all these hundreds of thousands and millions of people that are in this hell down there in Texas right now, in Louisiana, literally going through hell. And he comes out and makes a statement like that, as if to say, you know, there must be some kind, the gods are not happy with what's happening. This is what karma is about, folks. Hindus have millions of gods, but there's only one Lord God. You see, if I were in Houston, Texas right now, and I was standing in a shelter, and I had 100 families in there, and they were looking at me and said, what happened to my home? Why did this happen to me? Don't you think a lot of people are down there right now thinking, why did this happen to us? You know, what did we do to deserve this? What would you say to them? Well, you'd say, I guarantee you, there's some folks in the country right now, well, it's God's judgment, you see. It's awful easy to live in a black and white world where everything is so simple and categorized and you got it all figured out, where you got the answer to everything. Well, let me tell you, I don't have the answer to everything. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. A lot of good people down there are suffering right now. A lot of bad people down there are suffering right now. You see, the news media doesn't like the idea that you got good and bad on both sides. A lot of good people down there that did nothing to bring this on themselves are suffering. And a lot of garbage down there, suffering. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the looters. I'm talking about the people that took their weapons out and were robbing people, armed robbery. Right now. You see, something like that brings out the best and worst in people. That's just one of the things about life. It brings out the best and the worst. I've seen a lot of good, a lot of brave people, a lot of sacrifice going on down there where people gave everything they had. Haven't you? But there's also some garbage down there taking advantage of the situation. And the law enforcement, the prosecutors down there said, you go out and loot somebody's home or loot some business or burglarize somebody's home, we're going to put you away from now on. You're trying to get the word out. They need to get the word out. And the word needs to get out. Because that's adding sorrow on top of sorrow. I mean, think about it. You've lost everything, and then here somebody comes along and kicks you when you're down. That's bad, isn't it? This is why we ought to show Christian love and compassion. This is the time when the church should step in and show what Christian love and compassion is about. Amen. You see, the church has been part of this country ever since this has been a country. The church has been here. From day one, the church has fought the battles with the country. The church has prayed for the country. The church has been part of the fabric of America from day one. And Americans know that. They know that. And you have elements, though, that have come against our society, that have come against our nation. It's be interesting to watch. Just put this out for you tonight to think about this. It'll be interesting to watch to see how much help comes from other communities, from other groups. Won't name any, but just keep your eyes open and watch and see. What I'm talking about? I'm talking about organizations and religions and what have you. See what they do for Americans. But as far as the Church of God is concerned, to show Christian love, this is a good time to do it. We've got, the church has donated some money through the Samaritan's Purse. This is Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. From everything I've heard about Franklin Graham, when it comes to stuff like this especially, he's very good at this. And he's got quite an organization. And if you personally would like to help with the money and what have you, the people down there, Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse is a good organization to give to. I think the money, I don't know what the percentage is, but somebody told me not long ago that they've got a pie chart online, and you know how they'll do a pie chart, 50% goes here, 20 there, and this and that, and that a very small percentage of the money that comes in is used for expense. The rest of it goes where it's supposed to go. That's a good thing. Pardon? 1.8% is administrative. Oh, that's pretty good. A cup of coffee costs more than that. So, you know, that's pretty good. It really is. It's outstanding. So this is a time to show Christian love. There's an awful lot of people out in the world. You know, they're not Christians, and they don't go to church, but they wonder what's in church. And this is a time when your actions will definitely speak louder than words. And so I'm glad he's down there, and I'm glad that he's down there in that work. I watched a video online a couple of years ago from a fellow up north. And I watched the video, and he got in his truck. He had his truck packed full of stuff. He got in there. And they went out to Moore, Oklahoma. I think it was Moore, Oklahoma. Is that where that terrible tornado hit? Moore. They went out to Moore, Oklahoma, and they carried water and food, you know, everything that people needed. And the fellow that did this is an ex-coach up there, and I think he's in Ohio, and his ministry is called Pass the Salt. Pass the Salt. I like that old boy. I really do. I like it. Who? Yeah, Coach Dave. Yeah, Coach Dave. And they videoed it, and I watched the whole thing, and it was real good. It was real good. They carried all that out to these folks out there in Oklahoma. Coach Dave. Well, now that's preaching, folks. Coach Dave is doing a lot of preaching. He is. I mean, it's right, as they say, where the rubber meets the road. You give a child a drink of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. Well, you're not doing it for rewards. You're doing it because you've got the love of God in you. Amen. And so, yeah, Coach Dave. God bless Coach Dave. Amen. I like the title of his ministry, Pass the Salt. Think about what that means. Pass the Salt. But anyway, I'm glad for that. And I think he's headed down to Houston, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, so he's headed down there. And I'm sure the reason I bring him up, I'm sure a lot of Christian ministries, you know, that don't get any exposure are down there or headed down there. That's not to take anything away from Samaritan's Purse, but to simply say, you know, a lot of God's people are down there and going to be going down there to do something to help those folks. And so pray that what they're doing, this is the main thing. Now, I know a little belly needs to be fed, and they need water, and they need medication. Good for them, and God bless them. But the main thing is to get the gospel into them, the love of God, and to show them that, you know, I may be the hand that's giving this to you, but it's coming from Jesus. That's who it's really coming from. And that's the way it ought to be. We don't need any glory for anything. It comes from the Lord. What do you have that you haven't received of the Lord? What can you give that God hasn't already given you? So this is an opportunity. And so pray about that. Pray the opportunity. And they're going to do it. They're just like Coach Dave Dobmeier, isn't his last name? Something like Dobmeier or something like that. But anyway, pray that this brother and all the other brothers that are headed down there, that God will bless them, and he'll use this for the glory of God. It's a good thing. It's a real good thing. It's a terrible thing that this happened, but it's an opportunity. It's an open door. And they're sad now. They've already got over 30 souls. I think they've found 30 souls. One police officer died in his car. Somehow or another got stuck somewhere and the car got flooded. One police officer has died, 30 people, but there's going to be a whole lot more, folks. When this water goes down and they get into these houses, they're going to be finding bodies in these houses, believe me. And it's going to be a lot worse. And so what's going on down there has just started. And pray that Temple Baptist Church, we'll monitor it, we'll keep watching it, we'll keep seeing what goes on down there. And I've got some information up here if you personally would like to give to this ministry down there. You can do that. Brother Kirkpatrick is a chaplain, and he's a catastrophe chaplain. What was it you said? Disaster chaplain. And he's been in this before, and he knows what's going on firsthand. And that's always good to have somebody like that who knows exactly what's happening. And he's going to come up here, and he's going to tell you what he does. Come on up here, brother, and tell the folks whatever the good Lord's laid on your heart. And we'll let him explain a lot of these things to you, because he can be a great help here.
How many have been into a disaster?
You have? Brother, come on up here, Kenneth, with me. You've been in one?
They moved here from Texas, brother, yeah. From the very place that this is going on.
Yeah.
Where were you at?
Indonesia, when the tsunami.
The tsunami. The tsunami in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Well, I was supposed to go over and pick up dead bodies, and I said I'm too old and I wasn't going to do that.
Well, we did.
But anyway, folks, these folks have been in. I tell you what, you're in a real good egg. You think you're nothing wrong with you, you're good Christians, you're in church. You got tornadoes coming out now that's a mile wide. You picture what a mile wide tornado would do coming down Broadway, or coming into your subdivision. And then we come off of a different story. The bottom line, when you're in a disaster area, you got all kinds of people. They will get in your face. You want to pray for them. You reach over and you grab their hands. Want to pray for me? I don't want to hear this stuff.
That's right.
You don't want to hear it. So you try to comfort them the best you can. They're not going to listen to Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear him. A lot of them do. What you got in disasters, you got criminals. They'll loot. They'll shoot you. And they'll kill you. They don't have any respect for you. You got people will be coming from all over the United States going down there, and it's help me. Please help me. They have nothing to do with this there. Nothing at all. But you have to deal with this in a Christian matter. You have a lot in that area. You will have in Louisiana, you'll have a lot of cotton mouths. They're very deadly. They're in your house, and when the water starts down, you're going to have to deal with them. They're bad. Am I right?
They are bad.
But alligators, too, now.
The alligators we don't worry about, but the cotton mouths you will. But Joanna is a lovely wife. She's also a minister in Compton. If we get called, we're waiting on a call. If they call us, we're gone. Ain't that right, hon? Should be ready. But all I've got to say is, folks, pray. Pray for those people. They need it. They need your financial help. But send your money to Franklin Graham. The reason I said Franklin Graham, he would use the money like he says he would use it. He has chaplains. He has the resources. He has the paperwork. If you don't have the paperwork, you can't come into a place and start just helping somebody. That was taken away from the churches, a lot of our churches. They have to have paperwork. If they don't have paperwork, you go in and I'm going to help you, brother. I'm going to cut that tree down or I'm going to pray for you or something. You ain't got the right paperwork where they sign and see you. This is what you're dealing with in a disaster area. It's a shame, but this is what you're dealing with. And we had to deal with it over and over and over. My brother here, he went to work tsunami. I was supposed to work tsunami, and they wanted me to pick up dead people. I said, man, I ain't picking up dead people. I says, be honest with you, you know, I'll minister, but I'm too old to pick up dead people. Have something to say about tsunami.
Well, I guess it's not the same thing, but the tsunami happened, y'all remember, in 2004, and that killed about 200,000 people instantly, pretty much. But we were down there, obviously, as in the Marine Corps, so we had the naval support. And what Pastor was talking about earlier about the church has been ingrained in our nation since the beginning. And when I was down there, 2004, the tsunami, pretty much the only country down there helping was the United States. We saw a couple other French ships and maybe a British ship here or there, but for the most part, it's America who steps up to the plate when any time there's any kind of disaster around the world. And we were down there, and it was horrible. It was devastating, and you all saw the pictures of it. But and a lot of people said the same things. You know, that's judgment on them because that's a Muslim country or whatever that is. Well, that's just ignorance. But it's something to see. You can't really put it in words until you've seen a devastation like that. So whatever help you can give, it's appreciated. So you're from down there.
Yeah, my wife and I are from Beaumont, Texas. We've been here what, nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
Praise God, this is where we want to be.
We've been through the last two.
But we were the last two down there, and my first big one was Rita. And I worked in healthcare, and the hospital was a chaplain there. My wife was a nurse there, and we dealt with people who were admitted to hospitals. We need to pray for the healthcare workers there. The hospital's going to be overloaded with people. Nursing homes, they're overloaded, trying to deal with people that are asking the very question, why? Why did this happen? And they're trying to gain some sense. Remember, a cup of cold water given in the name of Jesus. They need that. They need that. It opens the door to be able to share the gospel. And that's what they need also. They're trying to make sense of it. And so the joy of the Lord is our strength as we know that He's our very present help in trouble. In Psalm 46, 1. But they need to know that truth, and they can see it in us, and we know the prayers of God's people are there. They are there, and they need our prayers. And especially, I'm going to say, the healthcare folk, they need strength, because some of them, I will tell you, they work. They don't get to go home. Don't think that. No, when you're there, you are there. And don't think you can punch the clock and off you go back to your house. No. Those who, whenever that thing hits, who are working in the hospitals at that time, they're there for the duration until things clean up and clear up. So they're there to take care of folks and those that are being brought in. So remember them. Remember them. I mean, we have, I had a tree during Rita. A tree came through the house. The house had to be remodeled. And I left, but came back. I left and went to Houston and came back. National Guard were there. They closed freeways. They wouldn't let anybody back in during that time. And I had to show them who I was and my badge to even get back into the hospital. And I know the nurses especially, they need prayers. And remember them, because they're ministering to people at the bedside. The doctors are just wrung out. They're tired. And so all the workers and those that are caring for the injured and those that have been flooded need our prayers desperately. That's one thing. You say, well, I'm here. What can I do? Yes, pray. And the purse and whatever you can give, anything that will be reaching out to them, and that will do a wonderful ministry. That's a wonderful ministry.
Yeah, I just want to thank y'all for... Yeah. You know, I sent out a message last night, and I want to thank everybody for praying. My parents are there right where it started to flood last night, and they were okay at 10:30 when I went to bed. And a call this morning, and they had, during the night, had gotten water in the house, and mostly just floor. It wasn't much, but it flooded, you know, it flooded the flooring, but it had receded back to the street, and now they're okay. But everywhere around, miraculously, I have to say that because of I believe the prayers that, you know, it's not, you know, you it's not just because some don't get it and some do. It's just, I'm grateful.
Yes.
Whatever it is, it could have been worse. And I've kept steady contact with them and friends also that are going through it. They're very close friends, prayer partners, and that it seems to strengthen and help calm them to know that there are many people praying for them all over outside of where they are, because they can't see it like we do. And we're on the internet and looking at the news, and they have no idea except what's in front of them, because it's all the more devastating to them. So I just want to thank y'all for prayers thus far. Everything is okay with my family and Keith's as well. So
thank you.
I'm grateful we're here.
I'd like to say one more thing. We got all kinds. The nurses and the doctors, they overwork themselves. They really do. And it's a great thing to have them. A lot of folks, though, when you start trying to witness to them and everything, are trying to say something. Why did this happen to me? Have you ever heard of the four horsemen? The four horsemen, I said, in the beginning of last days, it's going to be perilous times. Read your Bible about the four horsemen. Thank you, brother.
Yes. God bless you.
All right. Give you first-person perspective because they've been there. That's quite a thing. When you first thing I thought of when this thing hit, what was the place there in Texas where it first hit? The Rockport was the eye, wasn't it? Rockport, then Corpus Christi was right next to it. Then it went up to Houston. I thought about Beaumont because I knew your family was in Beaumont, and I knew they had come from Beaumont, Texas, and I knew they had family down there. And, you know, if just think it, put yourself in their shoes. You got a hurricane, Cat 4 hurricane hitting, and your mom and dad's down there. I'm sure you'd be worried about it. So that gives us a different perspective from the church here on how to pray and what to pray for down there, for these folks down there in Texas. I'd like to say this to you tonight. We need to keep praying because this is not going to be over with in a week or two. No, sir, this is just the beginning. And it's going to be a trying time, and maybe we'll see what God does. See who He raises up, you know, for that ministry, for that time, for that place. He doesn't one size doesn't fit all. He doesn't send everybody down there, but He will send somebody down there that's prepared for it, somebody that's ready, and somebody that knows how to minister to it. You know, when you're praying for a movement of God, that would be a good place for a movement of God to start, wouldn't it? A place like that, where you see the hand of the Lord, these people begin to say, you know, we lost everything. What's the future hold for us? And then they turn to the Lord. That'd be a wonderful thing. So please pray for them. And I appreciate your testimony from all of you tonight and what you had to say. The last thing I want to say is this. I'm glad the Bible says there's coming a time when there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. No more hurricanes, no cyclones, what's the other one? What's it called? A cyclone, a hurricane, a typhoon, yeah. No typhoons. By the way, they're all the same thing, just different locations on the globe. I just made a bunch of flat earthers mad at me, but they're all different locations on the globe. And by the way, did you know that a hurricane spins counterclockwise? But a typhoon spins clockwise. Why is that? Because it's on the bottom side of the globe. That's why. And the hurricane's on the top side, spinning in an opposite direction. That's quite a remarkable thing when you think about it. Oh, good night. Earthquakes and tornadoes. Yes, all that. Sure. All this stuff is coming. Let me say this before I close. I have no idea why this happened in Texas and in Louisiana. But I know the God we can turn to for comfort and help and relief. And pray for these dear people down there, because, folks, they are, it's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, it is horrible what they're having to endure down there in Texas. And it's moved up into Louisiana. And I don't know how far to go, but pray for them. Yes, sir. I know, that's what I told my wife.
And I said, the windows, you know, of the heavens opened up.
That's right.
To the deep, and we were talking about a hurricane compared to that. It's minute.
That's exactly
and
right.
So they can keep scoffing, but, you know, look at reality here.
That's the first thing I thought about when they said there's going to be 50 inches of rain in just a few days, a few hours. I thought that's what happened back in Noah's flood.
And
the heavens opened.
Say,
well, he can use anything like that to do it.
If you look at, this is only 5 days after we had the eclipse, okay? We need to repent and get right.
Well, yeah.
So God said there'd be, in Genesis 1:14, it says there'd be signs in the heavens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a sign. And so he's trying to wake people up.
All right, we have any prayer requests tonight? Please pray. Yes, sir.